Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
We have another episode of Mediocrity Podcast. I'm so excited. I'm Brian Kluger, and we have an excellent show for you today. A lot has happened in the last week. We've got tons to talk about. There was a Super Bowl. There's been many, many, many trailers that have come out. So much news. Of course, I am joined by the best people in the world, one being in Texas, one being on the West Coast. Jonathan Atterbury and Jeremy Miggert, how are you guys?
I'm great, man. Thanks for that introduction. I don't know about greatest people in the world. Maybe greatest people that you know, but I mean, I might be the greatest person in California, but I don't know about the world.
The world. The whole
now, I just have to point out, I just want to tell all the listeners that as Brian was doing the introduction, he was holding the microphone with such commitment. It really looked like he was Steven Tyler singing a song in the 70s. It was real, like, passion in that microphone holding.
There was. Like, I had it gripped.
And his eyes were closed. He was holding with both hands, looking up towards the ceiling. It was pretty impressive.
Why, thank you. Thank you.
Might as well have been singing Dream On.
Dream On! Oh, I have actually seen Aerosmith in concert, and they are pretty fantastic. And do you guys, little Aerosmith trivia, do y'all know what the only Aerosmith song to ever make it to number one?
It was the song from Armageddon. I don't want to miss a thing.
How weird is that? After out of all of their songs, that's the one. Amazing.
That was a fucking great song.
No, it's a terrible fucking song.
No, it's not. That's a great song. I don't care. I don't care what you have to say about that because you're wrong. It's a great song. It's not like a rock song. It's not. But that's why it was the most popular song they ever did. It was the most commercially available.
It's a terrible song.
It was not very good, and they did not write it.
Terrible, terrible song. But I will say this.
So you don't even like that song, Jeremy?
It's okay. I mean, it's your little like summer blockbuster pop movie, you know, play it in the credits song.
I just have to point out that Jeremy also thinks that the best Van Halen was when Sammy Hagar was in the band. And I just disagree with that on a fundamental level. So we're definitely on some different sides of the street here with the music stuff.
The song was written by a woman named Diane Warren. Yes, who's done quite a bit with a lot of people. But with Don't Want to Miss a Thing, I think it's a horrible fucking song. However, when I was at that concert, you know, full of people at Aerosmith, I couldn't help myself but sing my fucking guts out during that song, and I had a good time with it.
Because that's what people do to horrible fucking songs. Horrible songs are so catchy that they make you want to sing and have a great time. Because that's something horrible fucking songs do.
Oh my god! I think...
So you're admitting the song's not good then?
No, I'm admitting that it's a great song because I'm being sarcastic. I'm saying a horrible song wouldn't elicit that reaction from someone.
No, it just needs to be catchy to elicit that reaction. It doesn't have to be good.
Yeah, that Jeremy has a point. Jeremy has a point.
Look at that mouth was open and no fucking sound coming out of it. Oh, that was great.
I was trying to decide which balloon I wanted to pop first in that argument.
Oh, that's so funny. yeah, I love Aerosmith, and it's so – I mean, I guess it's – yeah, it was the whole movie thing. But, yeah, it's the weird thing that out of all their songs, which is a lot of great ones, that's the only number.
I'll tell you right now that two of my favorite Aerosmith songs are that one and Jaded that they wrote also years after that one. I think those are two of their best songs.
Sweet Emotion?
Sweet Emotion's great. So is Dream On. So is Walk This Way. So is most of Toys in the Attic. These are great albums, but those are just two of my favorite songs of theirs.
Oh, my goodness. Not Living on the Edge?
That's a great song also.
Looks like Jeannie's a lady?
I'm saying that these are all great songs.
Jeremy, I think we hit a chord of, like, no pun intended there with Atterbury and his love of this song.
I just think that I'm going to just defend the quality of the song.
Okay.
I think it's a very good song.
Oh, I'm glad you do. And I'm sorry you think that at the same time.
It's not as good as our theme song, but it's pretty good.
No, that's true. Our theme song is – I will be the first to admit that our theme song to Mediocrity is way better than I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
If only it made that kind of money, damn it. Any kind of money, really, would be fine.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That'd be good. And Jeremy, that new house is going well?
Yeah, man, it's awesome.
Good. All right. So we knew there's a bit of news that just came across the AP wires. It just got greenlit. They just released it literally right before we started recording. And I think Jeremy doesn't know what's happening, but right before he signed on to do this podcast today, Atterbury and I were talking about it, and it got Atterbury all in a dither. He's in all a dither in a basket, and he just doesn't know what to do with himself, and we're going to discuss it. We're excited. All right. So the Game of Thrones showrunners and head writers, who are David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, have just made a gigantic deal. It's greenlit. They have been set to write.
Would you just fucking tell us what's going on?
He's so excited. Look at him. They have been set to write and produce, possibly direct, a brand new trilogy of Star Wars movies. Brand new trilogy of Star Wars movies. This is in addition to the trilogy that Rian Johnson is already doing, in addition to the last episode we have coming out, and in addition to the solo spinoffs that we've been seeing. Brand new stuff. Nothing is set. Nobody knows about what's happening, but it's probably going to start after Game of Thrones ends in 2019. And so, Atterbury, you had a big old question about this.
Yeah, my first thought was, does this mean that we might be getting a more adult Star Wars trilogy? It's just kind of interesting. Like, if you give it, like, to the Game of Thrones, I just can't imagine them going, hey, Game of Thrones, you know, it'd be great to make a new PG Star Wars trilogy. The guys that made Game of Thrones, they're an obvious choice. But they'd be an obvious choice if you're like, you know what? Since we're already doing the Rian Johnson trilogy, maybe we're going to have the Game of Thrones guys come in and do a Darth Bane trilogy, because that would just be the best thing ever.
I have no idea. I don't know where to go. But Jeremy hasn't, like, I feel like Jeremy would have been so excited about this. He just monotone expressions. He hasn't said anything yet.
I'm excited. It just took you 8 minutes to say what was going on. By the time we got done with your intro, I didn't care anymore.
That's his excited face.
That's his excited face. You know, I've got to build it up. I've got to build it up.
It's cool. You know, I agree with John. It seems like definitely could go the route of the more mature, and especially with the success of, like, your Deadpool movies and Logan and stuff like that, you know.
Thank you. Kluger told me before we started this that there will never, ever be an R-rated Star Wars movie. That is what he said.
They're not going to happen. Not going to happen.
I think it's a possibility. Why wouldn't they want to – they're doing – a whole bunch of stuff. They're trying to make stuff that appeals to small children and teenagers and young adults. Why not go for stuff that's a little bit more hardcore, get that audience too? Make Star Wars for everybody.
But Star Wars is for everybody already. Everybody goes to see it.
No, but he's talking about an adult audience. Like, most Star Wars movies are not for an adult audience. Most of the adults watching a Star Wars movie are there out of nostalgia and a love for Star Wars movies. You know, if they were aimed at adults, you would never have your Ewoks, you wouldn't have Porgs, you wouldn't have, you know, any of those characters. When you put those in there, those are specifically aimed only at kids, and so it kind of tilts it in that direction.
Yeah, and obviously, yes, there are adults that enjoy every aspect of the Star Wars media that's being put out, but I'm saying, like, why not also include in this whole gambit of Star Wars media something that's very mature? You know, get like they've did with, you know, they've put out a few Star Wars books that were very mature in nature. They had that one with the stormtroopers on the ship that was getting, everyone was getting murdered. It was very, you know, like a horror novel. And they've had a few very mature Star Wars video games. And they have the Darth Bane trilogy of books, which are very dark and very mature. So, you know, I could just totally see them doing that with some films, because why would they already be working on another trilogy if this new Rian Johnson trilogy hasn't even gotten off the ground yet?
Because
it seems like maybe they're trying to do different things at the same time.
Well, because they're probably now going to release 2 Star Wars movies a year. I mean, it's Disney, it's Star Wars. It's going to make money no matter what.
Well, what's the point? Like, I feel like if they're doing 2 trilogies simultaneously that are both PG, it's going to get watered down where people are just going to be like, who, you know, why does any of this matter right now? It's just too much Star Wars stuff. But if they had the main trilogy, well, if they had the main trilogy, whatever it is, the PG, PG-13, and then I think The Force Awakens was PG, and then Last Jedi was PG-13, right?
I'm going to look that up, but keep going.
So, you know, I could totally see them doing that where they're like, you know, here's the main trilogy and then here's the R-rated one for those of you who want that kind of thing. Maybe it's got a smaller budget, whatever.
I mean, you know, 2 years ago, nobody would have ever predicted an R-rated superhero movie. And they were like, nobody thought it would have happened and nobody thought it would ever make money. And then Deadpool came out and fucking blew all the doors off all the shit.
I agree with that.
Stupid. They see that and they see dollar signs and they're like, okay, maybe we do need to make some R-rated Star Wars movies.
But there's a difference between Deadpool money and Star Wars Force Awakens money. And Force Awakens and The Last Jedi were both PG-13.
Why not do both? That's what I'm saying. Do the Rian Johnson trilogy that'll be the main trilogy for everyone, and then do this other one that's going to be more R-rated and more mature, a little darker.
I thought Rian Johnson's trilogy wasn't with the main. I thought his trilogy was separate from the Rey Kylo stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I'm just saying, for instance, if they make that the new main trilogy, or the new main focus of the Star Wars stuff.
Do you get what I'm saying? No, yeah, I know what you're saying.
No, I get what you're saying, but to me it doesn't make sense because the Rey Kylo, you know, Finn Poe, that's going to be the main trilogy because they've already said, like Kathleen Kennedy's already said, that they're not going to stop telling the, like, Skywalker family storyline.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Anytime soon. So okay. whatever, if Rian Johnson's not continuing that stuff, then he's working on something completely different. So that means, based on that there will be, if the Game of Thrones guys are not doing the next kind of like big main trilogy, there will be 3 Star Wars trilogies at work at the same time.
That's crazy.
Plus all your single movie spinoffs, like your solos, and if they make a fucking Yoda movie and they make a Boba Fett movie or whatever else is in the works.
No, for sure. It's insane that I can't believe Disney hasn't done it yet. So with all of these movies coming out, it's going to happen. It's like
done what yet?
Like announce like just every Star Wars movie ever, like one a month basically, because they got the rights. They've been doing it, you know, staggering amount, one a year, but now it looks like, oh my God, they're not going to stretch all this out over the next 15 years with just these movies. They're going to probably do 2 a year, maybe one in the summer, one in the winter, like Christmas time and summertime.
But you're saying still that there's no chance that we'll get a R-rated Star Wars movie.
Okay, so it's hard to say no, zero.
Do you think
chance?
That 1%
chance?
I just want to recap here. 1%
chance.
I just want to recap here. You think that Benicio del Toro is definitely Lando?
No. Definitely. Donkey? But, Justin Theroux.
Okay, Justin Theroux is definitely Lando. I'm sorry, I get your crazy theories mixed up here. So Justin Theroux, definitely Lando, but there is a 0 to 1% chance that we'll ever get an R-rated Star Wars movie.
Not going to get an R-rated Star Wars movie. It's going to be PG-13, and I bet you,
So Star Wars, Disney will not make an R-rated Star Wars movie, but they will make a movie where a white guy is actually a black guy on the inside.
What movie is that?
That's movie your theory. Just your theory, you silly bastard.
It's a disguise. He's hiding.
So you're saying it's a black guy wearing white people skin?
Yes.
That's not going to happen in a Disney movie. There's just no chance that that will ever happen in a Disney movie.
There's no chance that there's going to be an R-rated Star Wars movie. I just don't see it happening. And you know what? I'm all for it. And I think what Weiss and Benioff will bring is like how they brought all the mythology and the characters and like the history of, you know, Game of Thrones. They'll put that inside the Star Wars universe.
Game of Thrones is great, but it's great because of the violence and the sex and the mature content. If you totally muted all that stuff, I don't know if you'd have a hit show on your hands.
You could totally make a violent movie that's PG-13. You just don't show a lot of blood, or you don't show a lot of close-ups of somebody stabbing somebody or a headshot with blood spurting out.
I agree with John, though. I feel like if you made if Game of Thrones was an all ages movie or TV show, nobody would fucking care about it, because that's what separates it from all of the other fantasy stuff, is the mature content. If you take that out, you're watching fucking Chronicles of Narnia or Lord of the Rings.
You're watching Lord of the Rings, which is huge.
Yeah, but like, what's the fucking point of making a generic Lord of the Rings ripoff? Like
Game of Thrones is it itself. They could. You just can't have. It wouldn't have been a hit if you'd just been like, hey, well, here's another fantasy novel and our fantasy TV series and nothing different about it.
Do you honestly think
really nice stuff
that Disney is going to allow these two guys to have their own thing and make a rated R hardcore Star Wars? No,
I do think it's possible.
Well, look, it doesn't have to be, you know, the elements that are in Game of Thrones. Like, there's subject matter that are in the books, you know, without going hardcore the way Game of Thrones does. That
yeah,
they
don't need to have, like,
R.
boobies everywhere and that kind of stuff. But I'm just talking. But, you know, they could have it just if, for instance, let's just take this Darth Bane trilogy as an example. There is very heavy adult like subject matter in these books. It's not sexual, but it's very mature. It's definitely not for children. It's frightening. It's moral dilemma. It's bad people doing bad things to other people. And it's very violent and very disturbing. And I think those kinds of things wouldn't work in a PG-13 PG movie. So,
yeah,
but they would
work
fantastically in an R-rated movie.
In episode 3, Anakin like literally kills a bunch of kids. You know, you don't see it actually happen, but it happens. And that's PG-13.
Well, I know that happened.
I'm just saying there's ways to film. You said to film dark shit. There's ways around it. I was also saying.
No, I'm saying that you could have an R-rated movie without it. Like, it doesn't need to necessarily be sex. I could see Disney not doing a movie that has a bunch of nudity and sex in it. That seems like a bit of a stretch. But to have a movie with a fair amount of violence, you know, Deadpool's going to be very violent. There's no getting around that. And that's going to be a Disney movie. So why wouldn't they want to extend that to Star Wars world?
Disney's not going to make a R-rated movie ever. I'm just saying that Disney or Deadpool was already rated R. They're not going to go past that because they know if they made it PG-13, it would be terrible. They'd have a huge backlash. But Star Wars never been rated R. And
I think it would be exactly the kind of good, bad press for them.
Oh, it would
I
be
think it would be a storm on the media, and I think everyone would go to see it because of that reason alone.
Oh, no, there would be. You know what? I am all for it. I am all for this rated R Star Wars thing theory that you have. I want it to happen. It won't. It's not going to happen.
I wouldn't say it's a theory that I have. I'm just saying, what if, and maybe it's a possibility. It is definitely, no matter what you say, a possibility.
Everything's possible.
But that's a theory. What if is a theory.
Okay, I guess my theory is that maybe they might do that, and that would be cool.
Okay.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
We're going to come back to this this rated R topic when we finally find out what's going
to
happen.
We will be back to this on a weekly basis, yeah. I'm sure.
Until it comes out.
So
in 6 years.
I mean, we spent 20 minutes on this already, but I got to ask, you know, you said the Darth Bane trilogy, but do you think there's anywhere else they're going to go, or do you think they'll start from scratch?
Oh, I was just using that as I just want to see that. That's all.
Okay.
I don't know if I have a feeling that they probably won't do that, but it'd be really cool because I love that book, that trilogy of books.
So being with the creators of Game of Thrones, how badly do you want to see some of the actors in a Star Wars movie? We already see a couple. We saw Brienne of Tarth in as Captain Phasma.
I don't give two shits about seeing Game of Thrones actors in a Star Wars movie.
You don't want to see Tyrion Lannister up in there? That'd be awesome.
Not unless... No, I don't. I don't want to see that. I don't care. I mean, he could be, but I don't care.
Lena Headey would make an excellent Sith Lord.
Oh, God, yes.
Ah, what's the name of the older Sith Lord from Knights of the Old Republic?
Kreia.
Freya, there you go.
And that's Knights of the Old Republic, too.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. All right. All right. All right.
Well, there are definitely actors that I'd be okay with, but it's not like, oh, gosh, I really hope that they put this person in that trilogy.
All right. All right, man. Say what you will. Say what you will. All right. Moving on from the Star Wars talk. We have one more bit of news before we get into Super Bowl trailers and talking about...
And some more Star Wars talk.
And some more Star Wars. But a bit of news that came out today as well. Arnold Schwarzenegger is set to star in a TV show for Amazon called Outrider. And it will be a Western. So have we seen Arnold Schwarzenegger in a Western before?
Well, depends what era we're talking about. That movie was the Western Sheriff with Johnny Knoxville.
That's not a Western. I mean like a real Western.
It was kind of a Western. It was just a modern Western. It just wasn't like a, you know, pioneer days, like Old West, Wild West type thing.
Well, this one is set in the 1800s. So it is.
So he's an old Austrian cowboy in the fucking Wild West.
It's set in the Oklahoma Indian Territory in the late 1800s, and it tells the dark and dangerous tale of a deputy who is not only tasked with a notoriously brutal judge with apprehending a legendary outlaw in the wilderness, but must also partner with a ruthless federal marshal to make sure justice is properly served.
Wow.
And Schwarzenegger is going to play this federal marshal who immigrated to the U.S. from Europe as a child. Nothing else is known. I don't know who's going to be his co-star. But Schwarzenegger in an like authentic Western?
Wait, when does it take place?
1800s.
Does it say when in the 1800s?
No, just says Montgomery or...
Because, like, he's kind of old.
He is old.
He came over as a child, you know... Like, when exactly did he get here?
Well, let's say he was born in 1820 or 1810, so like it could be like 1870 or something like that. I don't know. They could make
there were all kinds of immigrants coming over from places in the world. I just don't know what time of the that century was happening in.
But it's funny. He's kind of like turned into a Western guy in real life, like with the long cigar always and. You know, just his rugged look.
Belt buckles. He does have a nice hat collection.
Yeah.
He does like cowboy boots.
I think he's like turning into it. So it just made sense. And it's for Amazon exclusively. So
but I think it will be weird to see such a buff cowboy.
Well, it's going to
like, that's just not something you see. Like everybody that's a cowboy is kind of lean and sinewy and not like super jacked.
Well, you really think Arnold Schwarzenegger in the big sci-fi military action movies and maybe sometimes a comedy, but I don't think we've ever seen him in a Western before. And I'm like very excited. Maybe he's going. So I actually, this might be like a big thing for Arnold, because when I interviewed Arnold Schwarzenegger long ago, he said the reason he got into movies were the old John Wayne Western movies. So this is kind of, this sounds
so something he's always wanted to do.
Yeah, this kind of sounds like, oh, he's going to finally do this. So I'm excited.
Well, I gotta say, so like The Rock, I'm always excited when Arnold is in stuff. I just like Arnold to be in movies, but I've been pretty fucking disappointed with everything that he's put out since he was governor.
Really?
Yeah, I'm trying to think right now.
I'm going
if there's
there right
anything
now.
He's put
you,
out.
There's been a bunch of stuff he's put out. That
I know there's been a bunch of stuff, but I can't think of anything where I was like, man, that was fantastic. It's like there's been a few things where I was like, eh, okay.
Escape Plan was awesome.
Escape Plan was all right.
It was so good. Sabotage was okay, not great. Expendables 3. And then he did the Maggie movie, which was the zombie film, which was actually good. And I guess recently Killing Gunther in Aftermath. So, but he still has Triplets coming up, which
well, hopefully that'll be great. I'm excited for that one.
Well, he has so much. He has the untitled Terminator reboot that he's going to be in that is announced. He has The Legend of Conan, where he's going to play Conan.
I thought again. That got like permanently shelved.
Nope, it's still announced, still in production, or not in production, but pre-production, and Triplets, which is the sequel to Twins.
But I read a thing from a dude who did like one of the revisions on the screenplay.
Yeah.
And then it's basically been just kind of shelved indefinitely.
Interesting.
Because he said that because it was an interview with him, and he talked about, and it was a recent one too. I forget what site I read it on, but he said that basically they've done a couple different versions of the script, but that the studio doesn't want to spend the money that the movie would require.
Interesting. Oh, I'm just going by his IMDb credits, and it's still listed. But I guess this will be added to it, his Western show. And I guess the Terminator reboot and Triplets are both in pre-production. The Legend of Conan and another film called Blanco have just been announced. So from what you say, Jeremy, it might be shelved. Who knows? But he looks like he's still busy. But we're going with Atterbury. Expendables 3 and Escape Plan, and I did like The Last Stand for its ridiculousness. I like those movies. Yeah.
But are they great? That's what I'm saying. It's like they're all kind of like, yeah, that's, you know, it's fun, or it's varying degrees of mediocre.
I mean, it's very difficult to say, but I don't think Arnold Schwarzenegger will ever make as good of a movie as he did with like Predator or Terminator.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like nothing he's put out since he took office, nothing since that point is going to be something that will be remembered in 10 years. Like nobody's going to give a shit about any of the movies he's put out
since
he got back into movies.
If you go that way, the last great movie he put out was True Lies back in 1994. Yes, we remember him in Batman and Robin. Nobody remembers Eraser or End of Days, The Sixth Day, Collateral Damage. And he was in the rundown for like a split second. So after that, it was just kind of Expendables movies while he was doing governoring.
But I'm saying, like, I hope that he gets back to doing stuff that's great. I hope that he has one or two more legendary movies. You know, I just want to see one that's a real home run.
Well, you've got a Terminator reboot coming, and
that's not going to be it. I'll tell you right now.
Triplets might be amazing.
I so agree with that.
Triplets might be amazing.
Triplets might be amazing. I hope that it is.
Because that is the sequel to Twins with Arnold and Danny DeVito, and their triplet that is long lost is Eddie Murphy. And that just sounds amazing. So
it does. It absolutely sounds amazing.
So
you can't even think about it, at least I can't, without smiling.
You think about that and how amazing Twins was as a comedy or dark comedy, and it's just, it's so good. But all right. All right. So we've got the Arnold Schwarzenegger news. We've got the Star Wars news. Let's move on to the Super Bowl. Super Bowl, most watched event usually every year on television. Did you guys watch
the game? Who've never heard of it, you know?
Yeah. Did y'all watch the game?
That thing where they play football.
What's the football? Did y'all watch it?
I did.
Yes, we did.
That was
I kind of watched it by accident. You know, I was talking to Jeremy about it beforehand, and he asked if I was going to be watching it, and I said, no, I'm not interested. I don't want to watch the Justin Timberlake show, yada, yada, yada. But I did tune in after that because I wanted to watch the national anthem to see how bad it sucked. And it kind of just got – I got sucked in at that point. Because not long after that, we got the Han Solo trailer, and there were great commercials pouring in, and I just kind of ended up watching it and having a great time by accident. Oh, well.
Well, there you go. That's what it's part of. I always watch the Super Bowl, you know, and you always pray for a good game, no matter who plays. Like, yeah, nobody wants to see the Patriots win. Most people in Dallas hate the Eagles, but you just hope for a good game, and they actually put on a pretty good game. It came down basically to
a really good game, man. That was a lot of fun to watch. There was exciting stuff happening, turnovers, and just surprises all the way around. It was great.
Correct, correct. Yeah, and it came down to pretty much the last play. If they would have gotten that touchdown, it would have tied the game, gone to overtime. It would have been awesome. But then the Eagles won. Speaking of the national anthem, we saw Pink perform the national anthem, which was, you know, okay, whatever. Before we get...
Yeah, that was... I want to hear, like, so everyone's real thoughts on that performance.
On Pink.
Brian, you just said it's okay, whatever?
It was okay. It wasn't great. I mean, the best national anthem ever performed was Whitney Houston in the 90s, right after the Gulf War, and that was amazing. And this one was...
The standard.
This one is just okay. It was like, okay, she didn't fuck up, and there it is. That was
well, now, I got to say, so you mentioned the Whitney Houston thing, but the thing that bothered me most about this performance was that Pink was – you could tell she was singing an attempt at a note-for-note cover of the Whitney Houston version. Like, all the runs, all the note selections, everything was – basically note for note the Whitney Houston version, just not as good. And it was just a tremendous mistake, I think, because Pink is a great singer. She's great, got a great voice. She's very talented. But you don't try to sing Whitney Houston if you're not Whitney Houston. That's just asking for problems.
Very much
so. Because you're inevitably going to be compared to Whitney Houston when you do that. And you don't want that comparison.
No, you don't. Jeremy, did you kneel during the national anthem?
I did not see it.
He didn't kneel then. But it was okay. Before
and she blew the ending. The ending was a big flat tire.
Oh yeah. No, like I said, it's who I don't care. I mean, she got through it, but that was it. It wasn't anything spectacular.
Yep.
Moving on to the halftime show with Justin Timberlake. So before I go into this, I want to first say that I think Justin Timberlake has talent. I think he's talented. However, he wastes it and is lazy and has not done anything good minus the movie Inside Llewyn Davis. His recent albums have been horrible. And Love Guru, yes. Have been horrible, lazy, ridiculous. Every song sounds the same. They're indecipherable. They're so terrible. So when Justin Timberlake came out, just like the world's oldest twink, just pretty much took a giant shit on Prince and his legacy. And yeah, I get it. They were in Prince's hometown, but oh man, it was just a boring, stupid. When you think of Super Bowl, you don't think of Justin Timberlake. And like I said, I think he could have talent, but
some people do.
But his dance, but his dancing was unoriginal and uninspired. Just it was just horrible. It was a terrible halftime show, and Justin should be ashamed. But I'm sure he got paid a lot of money to do it. Power
I've to seen
him.
Way worse than Justin Timberlake for a halftime
show. Yeah, like
show.
Black Eyed Peas with was it Aerosmith or was it Slash? Slash with the Black Eyed Peas. That was really bad.
Or no, Madonna with the Gorillaz. That was way fucking worse.
I totally agree.
That was terrible.
I think when like all that happened was awful as well. I think the only cool thing Timberlake did was have the actual marching band come out. But yeah, it was a bad, performance. And
I got to disagree. I was expecting to not like it. I was expecting not to like it. I told Jeremy that before the show started. I was like, I don't give a shit about Justin Timberlake. But truth be told, it was damn fine show business.
No, it wasn't.
It was bombastic, and there was good energy to the whole thing. The only thing that I think was missing, and I think really would have taken it to a whole new level, is – I feel like it was a fantastic window for an NSYNC reunion. Not like I'm sitting here over here as the biggest NSYNC fan, but I do think that it would have blown some people's fucking minds if the other NSYNC members had come out and performed with them. That would have been talked about as much as the fucking game the next day.
Not only is Justin Timberlake the oldest twink in history right now, but he's also known as the biggest diva in history. And so you best believe
that. You say he's the oldest twink? What does that mean?
Twink. Look up twink on your computer.
Why don't you just tell us?
No, I just want him to look it up and he'll agree.
I just want you to tell us.
I know what it is. But he's also known for being a huge diva, and there was no way he was going to allow anybody to steal his spotlight. And thus, no NSYNC reunion. It was all about his music and nobody else's. Yeah, I mean, I don't like NSYNC at all, but it would have been...
How can you say it's all about his music and nobody else's when he did a Prince cover?
Because he was probably talked into, like, you got to do a Prince thing since it's here. And then all he did was have, like, that big fucking
You can't be like, it's all about his music and nobody else's when he does a cover of some... There were multiple covers that night, actually.
Of what?
There was at least one other cover that I remember, like, vaguely. I don't know the names, but... He did more than one cover.
So he doesn't do his own songs. Still.
Well.
Terrible.
I think it would have been a good opportunity for really thrilling the audience if they had brought out the right. Because they did have at one point like four other male dancers that kind of looked like the right age for the NSYNC dudes. And for a moment I was like, oh my God, is that the fucking NSYNC guys? And I was like, oh no, it's just backup dancers. And I thought they were going to be kind of toying with us to be like, nope, oh, is it them? Nope, oh, is it them? And then the last time the lights were going to go out and they were going to be there and everyone's minds would have been blown. That would have been a really cool show business moment. But I do have to say that Justin Timberlake looked like he was having a fantastic time. He was putting his energy into it. And you know what? My niece, who's like 4 years old, 5 years old, I feel like a bad uncle because I can't quite remember. But she is a huge fan of that Trolls movie. And so when they finally did that song from the Trolls movie towards the end, she loved it. She went nuts. She was dancing, having a great time. So it's hard to be mad at that, you know?
Well, that's the intended target audience for Justin Timberlake, a 4 or 5 year old who doesn't know music, doesn't understand.
I think there's a lot of people throughout the country that probably would disagree with that.
Because they have terrible taste in music. That's why.
Well, that's why pop music is a thing.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, and I will say this. I'll go on the record as saying that I think Justin Timberlake is so talented that he could, if he put his effort into it, he could make the next Off the Wall album. Like, legit, as good as Off the Wall. But he won't. He'll never do it.
He can't make Off the Wall because Quincy Jones is not working with him.
No, but I'm saying that I bet you he could, or he has enough talent to make something just as good as Off the Wall.
Michael Jackson wasn't talented enough to make Off the Wall. He had almost Quincy Jones made Off the Wall. And so if you don't have that going on, you can't really compare the two.
Yes, you can, but he won't. It's bad music.
Justin Timberlake just really, really wants to be Michael Jackson, which is the only reason you're connecting the two in your mind right now.
No, they've done stuff together, and they're both poppy and dance and all that stuff, and I don't know. I just think it was a poor halftime show, and I thought that I think the only thing when you say it was high energy is because they had probably 10,000 screaming girls down, jumping up and down. If they removed all that,
that's all the Beatles had.
Beatles make good music.
over just talking why it was high energy. I think saying because the whole fucking audience was losing their mind is a pretty good qualifier for having high energy.
Of what we saw. Agree to disagree, sir. I know you like Justin Timberlake.
I don't. I'm not even a Justin Timberlake fan. You're the one who just turned around and said that he could be making the next Off the Wall. So I feel like you're just back and forth with making these crazy claims.
No,
one
I'm
minute
not.
He
I'm
sucks. Just... And next minute, he's making the next Michael Jackson album.
Jeremy, what do you think?
I am largely indifferent.
There it is. There it is. All right. So we got the Super Bowl out of the way.
Jeremy is the star of this show. He really is. Because you and I, we're all over the place with these waves, and Jeremy's just holding it down.
Yep.
Squarely in the middle.
Slowly nodding off.
Slowly nodding off. He's bored on his own show.
I'll be here.
He's fallen asleep on his own show. He doesn't like it anymore. So movie trailers. First, we have to talk about Cloverfield and the Cloverfield movie. So interestingly enough, for the last few years, we've known that there is going to be a Cloverfield something movie. At one point, it was called The God Particle. Then it was delayed. And then, out of nowhere, during the Super Bowl, they aired a 30-second commercial. At the end of that commercial for this new Cloverfield movie called Cloverfield The Paradox, it said, available streaming on Netflix right after the game. What? Holy shit, amazing. And then I watched the movie.
Hold on. So we got to talk about that release first of all. Before we get into the whole thing about the movie, I do have to say that I think that was one of the coolest releases that I've ever seen. I was just reading an article a couple of days ago about when this movie was like expected to come out or whatever. And then next thing you know, boom, they say, oh, it's coming out soon. And I was blown away by just watching the trailer. But then when I saw coming out on Netflix, I jumped out of the chair. I was like, what? That's crazy. It blew my mind. And I didn't even see that it was coming out after the game. I just thought that they had made the announcement coming out soon. But then I went on Facebook and was looking at the news and all of that. And people were saying, oh, I can't wait to watch it tonight. And I was just completely blown away. What a great surprise that was.
No, I mean, that was their marketing. That was a genius marketing ploy for sure. Because it was like, holy God, it's going to be now? Because, I mean, with stuff like Cloverfield, it's not a huge audience, but it has enough of a cult audience that people are going to be excited for it. Plus, like, all, like, the mystery around all of the movies. But, yeah, it was cool. I thought it was cool that they did that. But now, have you both watched the movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I wrote a review on it. I thought it was fucking terrible. Do you guys agree or not agree?
I disagree.
Jeremy?
I've seen worse. There was some stuff I enjoyed about it. For the most part, I didn't love it.
Was it better than the anime Godzilla?
Yeah, probably.
By a little bit?
Yeah, it's a little better. You know, my issues are more just kind of like with all of the Cloverfield stuff in general.
It wasn't a Cloverfield movie, I feel like. It was just weird that they just tacked
well, I feel like it was a Cloverfield movie.
At this point, what the fuck even is a Cloverfield movie? Because we've had three movies where nothing has ever been explained. So we
or
don't
connected.
Really even, or connected, and we don't even know what's going on.
I think a Cloverfield movie is simply a movie that leaves you just going, what the fuck did I just watch? And how does this relate in any way to the other one?
And it's another movie of beginning to end where, like, all these people die. And I just don't care.
No, yeah, that's true.
No, and nobody like, cares.
Because... I'm like, why? It's like, why? It's like nothing's being explained. You know, you don't tell anybody what's going on, and you have a bunch of characters that I don't care about.
It was a poorly made movie with terrible characters that only, I think only one of the characters had a backstory. Everybody else was a stereotypical, you know, oh, he's the funny guy. He's the weirdo. He's the guy who gets angry a lot. It was horrible.
Okay, so 1 out of 10. What would you score this film?
1.5, maybe 2.
Truthfully, you'd give it that low of a score.
Absolutely.
Okay. Jeremy, what about you?
Yeah, I'd probably give it a 4.
Okay. I think I'd give it a 6, but that's about what I'd give the other two Cloverfield movies. I wasn't expecting anything more than that.
10 Cloverfield Lane is a solid 8 or 9. And the original Cloverfield movie
it's not.
It is not. I'm sorry. Like, I enjoyed that movie, but to say it's an 8 or a 9, a fucking Temple of Doom is a 9, man.
Temple of Doom is like a 10.
No, it's not. I love that movie, but it is not a 10. There are things that are – to get a 10, you have to be a perfect movie, and there cannot be one thing that occurs to you that is imperfect. Like, man, they could have done that differently.
10 Cloverfield Lane is damn good. Okay, so if you're giving me shit about that, I'm throwing 8 or 9 with 10 Cloverfield Lane.
That's with the original. How many times have you watched it since it came out?
Oh, my God, at least a dozen.
You sack of shit. You're so not telling the truth. There is no way. Nobody's watched that movie 12 times since it came out.
Okay, so I saw the film when it first came out twice in the theater. I saw the press screen. I went to see it after and paid for it. And when it came on Blu-ray, I've watched it many times, like legit.
Not believe you've watched that movie 10 or 12 times.
Don't fucking believe me. That's what I do. It's like I watch movies and I love 10 Cloverfield Lane. And I've probably seen the original Cloverfield more than 20 times.
That's really weird. You might be the only person that's watched those movies that many times.
10 Cloverfield Lane is amazing. I remember, I think 10 Cloverfield Lane might have been in my top 10 that year. And I think like John Goodman should have won an award for acting of some sort.
I don't understand you, man.
I don't understand you.
Hate for things, and then you love the weirdest things.
I could say the same thing about you, sir.
And then the magical part is that we always seem to disagree. Whatever it is, we're on the other end of the spectrum.
Opposites attract, man. Paula Abdul sang that shit. So I like 10 Cloverfield Lane a lot, but this Cloverfield Paradox movie, oh man, was just, I felt like they just took like at least 3 or 4 different sci-fi movies and just totally.
That's how anybody makes any movie, is you take 4 or 5 things that inspired you and mush them together and you have something original.
No, you don't.
Yeah, so, I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. Oblivion
any music for movies. It's just like somebody is like, man, I love this person, this person, this person, so I'm going to kind of smush all of my influences together and bleh, you get this.
No, Oblivion did that with Tom Cruise and it was not that good. It was better than this Cloverfield movie, but they did the same thing. But like the recent Blade Runner movie or The Signal, those didn't take anything from other sci-fi movies. Those were actually really good.
I would disagree. I think that if you watch Blade Runner, it has borrowed from many other films. Whether or not it's another sci-fi movie, it's been influenced by countless other things.
I think like what Brian is talking about, and my problem with the Cloverfield Paradox also, is that 1 minute it's like this movie bounces back and forth, honestly, from being science fiction and being science fantasy. And when you start doing that, that's when shit gets weird. Like if you want to make it like we're going to have rules and we're going to show you how they make a gravity in space and you want to get science fictiony, but then all of a sudden you have like fantasy elements like the ship is trying to eat them. You know, it doesn't work. Like you can do that. You can do that in something like Star Wars, which is science fantasy, where you have spaceships, but you also have sound in space and you have space wizards and little space toads that fucking talk. You know, like
that's a great summary.
It works and shit like that. But you know, when you do that stuff in a science fiction movie, and to me, that's what this was for the most part trying to be. They were like, oh, 1 second it's science fiction, but then it's science fantasy, and then
they smashed together the God particle. That's why it was suddenly science fantasy. It was science fiction, and then it was science fantasy once the worlds collided.
That's one of the things that doesn't make it work. Like it needs to still be one or the other, and then it's like, and then 1 second, like, oh, we want it to be horror, but then the next minute, no, it's not a horror movie. It's like no, but the ship's only trying to eat some people. It's not trying to eat all the people.
Yeah, it was so poorly thought out, and I don't, and all these actors are so good. It just they didn't have the script. Oh, I was so disappointed.
Let me tell you the fucking. The single shittest part of it, though, was when the dude lost his arm, right? Like, his arm got lopped off to the nub or whatever. They show him later with no arm. Like, you can't just, like, put the green sleeve on him and delete the arm and still have a whole shirt sleeve that clearly has a fucking arm filling it. Like, you would look at his short sleeve, and it was completely round, totally filled up with an arm that they just deleted. It's like, no, it's like, it's not, you know, like that. It's shit like that where I'm like, oh, that's just dumb.
And you know what? Those are good complaints. And like, it takes you out of the film. And with the whole Cloverfield universe, yes, I know there's a difference between what happened in 10 Cloverfield Lane and the original Cloverfield movie and this one, but this is direct ties. Actually, while Cloverfield, the original movie, is happening, this space thing is happening. So, but it just didn't make any sense. Like, okay, two dimensions, they come together, which is not good. You know, that's a Rick and Morty episode. And, you know, it was just ridiculous. It was so, and I wanted to like it so much, and it just wasn't. I found myself just hating. Like, I was like, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy this. And then they kept giving me reasons not to enjoy it.
That's fair. That is fair. But I just have to say that I enjoyed it. The whole time I was watching that movie, I was like, oh, this is fun. I finished it and I was like, that was fun. I didn't go, I fucking hate that movie. God damn it. There's this and that wrong with it. No, I was just like, finished. I was like, okay, cool. That was fun.
So Atterbury,
I'll probably never watch it again, but I enjoyed it.
So Atterbury loves the worst Aerosmith song. He loves Justin Timberlake and he loves this movie. so good. So fun. I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you're not, I mean, I wish I could like it as much as you did, but I can't. I can't. Because I really like these movies so much, and I like the movies.
I really wish that I liked shit as much as you do, but I just don't.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, it's not a good movie, and it's unfortunate. I think this franchise, I think this might kill the franchise. I mean,
well, here, okay, my biggest complaint about that movie was the J.J. Abrams-ness of it all. And that's been my biggest complaint with all the Cloverfield movies and actually every J.J. Abrams movie that's been put out.
I love J.J. Abrams movies. I love the Star Trek movies. I love Super 8 so much. I love those movies. Love Star Wars. I just, this
one.
I
don't know, man. Star Trek Into Darkness was pretty fucking terrible.
And so there's a reason for that. And I think the only reason Star Trek Into Darkness was terrible was that J.J. Abrams has this thinking in his head that he has to, like, surprise everybody until the final moment. I'm like, if you just told everybody it was Khan in the beginning, it would have been better.
That is so not the problem with that movie. It's the... The problem with that movie is it's the same as the fucking first movie. It's like 1 minute, Kirk's got the fucking ship, right? Then, oh, now he doesn't have it, so now he's got to get the Enterprise. He doesn't have the Enterprise. And then the fucking, you know, the Admiral guy that he loves, he's kidnapped. Second one, oh, he dies. It's like, oh, and then all of a sudden he's got the Enterprise back. But, oh, nope, now here's another giant ship that just like the first one, fucking blowing holes in the Enterprise.
That's what Star Trek's about.
Both movies are the exact same fucking movie.
The best Star Trek movie to come out recently was that last one that came out.
No, it was
that
a good
blew
one.
The other two out of the water.
I agree, it's very one. Good.
But yeah, I liked them. But I agree with J.J. Abrams has a certain thing to his movies. I love Super 8 so much.
What drives me nuts is I'm going to go ahead and say that I think J.J. Abrams is like, to movies, what John Lennon was to lyrics in his later years, you know, or Bob Dylan, where it's just people that like to make things that seem like they're deep just for the sake of making things that seem like they're deep. Like, I'm just going to make stuff that's really just nonsense, and I'm going to pitch it as being intelligent art that you just don't get.
Oh, I don't think J.J. Abrams has the intelligence factor. I think he's just love Spielberg and all the 70s and 80s movies, and he's literally trying to recreate that.
I'm talking about with the twists, with, like, Lost, all of that kind of stuff.
Oh,
where it's trying to be – it's really just stupid nonsense that is sold as highbrow genius.
Well, what I think with Lost, at least they had no idea where they were going, and they just, well, you've got to do this. Whereas
that's what J.J. Abrams does with all of his stuff, though. I feel like it's just flying by the seat of his pants with a really little to no idea of how it's going to work out.
How did you word it again? Being sold as what?
Highbrow genius.
Is it being sold as highbrow genius, or is it more of just like a bunch of stupids labeling it as highbrow genius?
Because I feel like it might be the latter.
I feel like that might be the case.
Oh no, I don't think
just stupids.
I don't think when I go into a J.J. Abrams movie or know something, I'm like, I don't think genius at all. I just think like, okay, this is gonna have my nostalgic factor. He's going to like Alias or like you said, like Lost. You know, I didn't think Lost was a particularly smart show, but it was like it kept my interest in stuff like, you know, him rebooting the Star Trek franchise or even Star Wars. And then with Super 8, I really like those movies. And I think he does a good job with bringing that old school feeling back, even if he just tries to be the secretive guy all the time. I'm like, stop doing that. It didn't work in Bond either when they introduced Blofeld recently. I'm like, they could have just told everybody he was Blofeld or that Khan was actually Khan. I'm like, oh God, we're all going to see Khan in this movie. But they just, one of that thing was like, oh, it's revealed in the movie and they didn't want to show it. And it's dumb. But with Cloverfield Paradox, I don't know how heavy-handed J.J. Abrams was on the film here, or maybe he was over the shoulder of the director who hasn't really done much of anything other than short films. So I don't know. I was disappointed. But enough about Cloverfield. There was other trailers, and we have to talk about this Han Solo trailer, which surprisingly was so good. I got so giddy when after that played. I was like, that was actually really good.
You know, it was funny because when it came on, I wasn't actually even looking at the TV. But when it started with the little like pops and switches, I like the second I heard that, I was like, something in Star Wars just clicked in my brain and I immediately looked over.
Same here. It was the exact same thing. I was like, what's happening on the screen right now?
I know. Like the second I heard that, I was like, what? I didn't even know we were getting I don't keep up with like what trailers are coming out. So
I had no idea
we were getting one. And so I was just watching. It was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Well, yeah, man. And you know, the crazy thing is I thought this trailer was one of the best trailers I've seen in a while. It made me excited. Because, in a way that the Last Jedi trailer did not.
Well, because,
or the last few trailers for anything we've gotten just didn't excite me.
I think the last two really awesome trailers was that first teaser, that like minute long trailer for the Force Awakens, and then this one for the Solo movie, because it barely gives anything away. They're super short and it just gets you excited enough and you're like, oh my God, we're going to see the Kessel Run in this movie. Oh my God, we're going to see how Chewie and Han Solo happen. Oh my God, there's a young Lando and Donald Glover looks exactly like Lando. And oh my God, it was so good. And that the ending where you're just like, oh, that actually looked like a young Harrison Ford through that door. So I don't know. I'm very excited.
It's absolutely, man. That trailer got me excited for sure.
And it says something because that movie comes out in May and they have not shown any trailers for it yet. And they could have saved 80% by showing the trailer the day or two after the Super Bowl. But no, they chose to pay that amount of money to show it during the Super Bowl, which is pretty cool.
Very cool.
Jeremy, are you excited?
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I enjoyed it even more when I saw the longer trailer that came out the day after.
Oh yeah, 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 for sure.
So, but you know, and the thing I dig about it is just looking at this movie, it seems like a lot of the kind of extra stuff they've added. The thing I like is everything I've seen in there that they've added for this movie, it looks like it belongs in Star Wars. You know, John and I kind of have a similar complaint about some of like the Force Awakens stuff and some of the newer movies is that, you know, a lot of the stuff that they put in there just doesn't always look like it fits in Star Wars, but everything in this that I saw that was new, I totally dug.
Yeah, me too. I completely agree, and it's going to be – it looks like it's going to be awesome. And, you know, you can't judge by a trailer, but, you know, this was the movie that the two directors from the Lego movie, Lord and Miller, were fired, and Ron Howard took over. So, I mean, I guess going by this, it looks good. I mean, by just by the trailer, at least.
We can only hope.
You're my only hope. but yeah, that looked so good, and I just I hope for the best, and I'm so glad we get a Star Wars during the summertime.
So I know.
You don't have to wait a year.
Super exciting.
Cool. Okay, so let's move on to the Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom trailer. Saw some new footage. It was pretty cool to see the dinosaur in the house on the bed. No, you're rolling your eyes. Why?
Because it looks like another piece of stupid shit to me. It looks like a gigantic pile of suck.
I didn't watch the trailer.
Okay. I mean, some of the same footage, but some of, you know, a little bit of different footage. I'm going to see it. I like Jurassic Park. I like Jurassic World. I'm in. It's not every day you get to see two dinosaurs curtsy to each other. So I'm in for it.
Because that's what we want.
Because that's what we want. And to you, good sir. And well, to you.
So, this is Brian. He's like, okay, so before I watch this Jurassic Park movie, I got to know. Before I write my review and tell you guys what I think of it. Was there two dinosaurs curtsying to each other?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Because that matters.
That does matter. Because that was so funny in Jurassic World. When the Velociraptor and the T-Rex, after they feed the giant water monster, or no, not the giant water monster, the giant crazy dinosaur.
The new super dinosaur.
Yeah, they both flip their hats and like, into you, good sir. It was so funny.
I hated that movie so much that I'm still angry about it.
Oh,
it
so
still makes me not want to watch anything that's Jurassic Park aside from the first two.
Oh, you make me laugh because we've done shows specifically on this podcast. So, but we'll get there. So yeah, Jurassic World. Also, we saw a new Avengers movie trailer, which I'm in. A little bit of new footage, not much, but a little bit. We also saw a new.
There's a little. People have found a little Captain Marvel pseudo appearance in like 1 second of that trailer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a scene where like Cap and I think Black Widow and Vision are walking towards the camera, and people have noticed in this tiny little spot where he like in between Cap's like left arm and his body. If you look in between there, you can actually see Captain Marvel's suit.
Oh.
And so, like, you can tell they edited it to where, like, you couldn't see her, but instead of just completely removing her digitally, but as he swings, you can definitely see the, like, the yellow and then, like, the gold and then the red and the blue.
So I wonder if in, like, a future trailer we will see, like, her at the very end or something. Who knows? God, that movie's going to be packed with people. But, yeah, it was cool. Also, a new Jennifer Lawrence movie is coming out called Red Sparrow, which legit looks like it's the prequel to Black Widow in the Marvel series. She plays a Russian chick who goes to a crazy school to learn to be an assassin. It looks like the prequel story to Black Widow.
The hilarious thing is they'll make a fucking Black Widow movie, and everybody's going to be like, didn't we see this already?
Yep. It's unfortunate Black Widow hasn't gotten her own movie yet. But we're getting this Jennifer Lawrence movie, and it doesn't look good. I'm out. What else did we see? Oh, we saw this one. There's a new horror movie. Something about Quiet. Did y'all remember that? I'm trying to remember. The one with Jim from The Office. Looks like a horror movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the chick from that Tom Cruise movie, Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes, yes, yes.
Emily Blunt, right?
Yeah. Looks like a horror movie. We'll see.
It's directed by Krasinski.
Oh, so he's directed stuff before, but none of it has gone over well at all.
And so that he's doing this one again, and who knows? It looks like it could be interesting. It kind of reminds me of It Comes at Night.
Yes.
It looks similar to that.
We'll see. And then speaking of Mission Impossible, we saw the first Mission Impossible trailer, which looks good. I mean, it looks like the same as every other Tom Cruise.
It does look like it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah, it looks fun. I'm in.
I wanted to be like, when it started playing, I was like, oh my God, another one. But then I was like, okay, well, who knows? I'll go see it.
Yeah, I'll go see it. I mean, I'm always going to go see a Mission Impossible movie because I expect certain things. I expect Tom Cruise to literally never get hurt or die or anything. And I expect crazy stunts that he's going to do. And these
lots
impossible.
Of running.
Yeah, lots of running, lots of, yeah, all of it. And I'm in. I'm in. I like Simon Pegg. I like Ving Rhames. I'm in.
What role is Cavill playing? Is he like the villain or what?
It looked like he was going to be the villain. Looks like he's
that
the villain.
Look like it reminded the second I saw that fight scene. It looked like he was punching Tom Cruise or something like that. I was immediately thrown into that scene in Red 2. Is it where it's the big office fight scene?
Yes,
that's like such a fantastic fight scene. I immediately thought of that. Yep.
Red 1 and Red 2 are so good. And do you think there'll ever be a Red 3?
Not unless they make the comic book.
Yeah, I guess so. You never know. Never know. I'm trying to think of the other movie trailers that we saw. I think that was like the big one. Oh, no. We're leaving one out. John's favorite actor, Skyscraper with The Rock.
It looks so good.
Well, it looks good and terrible.
No. It looks fantastic. It looks like it's going to be the new version of Die Hard, and I am so, so into that.
Now, I don't understand why you hate Jurassic World but are going to love so much Skyscraper, because they're equally the same type of movie.
No. How can you even say that? How dare you?
I mean, the over-the-top silliness, ridiculousness of it all. I mean,
it's the movie that I've been – we had a whole show about this where we were saying, you know what we need more of? We need more movies like we had those 90s action movies where you got like a nice, tough alpha guy who's like super strong and just an action hero doing action hero over-the-top stuff. You never get movies like that anymore. So I am so glad that we're getting a movie that's like True Lies, all the, you know, that has that 90s action vibe.
This movie will not be like True Lies.
What is this movie rated?
Skyscraper. I'm pretty sure PG-13, but I'm looking it up right now.
If it's PG-13, I'm immediately not going to care.
Yeah, that exactly. It's going to be the same stuff he's always done.
It needs to be rated R and super violent.
As of right now, PG... Nope, not 3D... I'm still looking. Hold on. Give me a second. IMDb. I don't even know if it's rated yet. Yeah, it's not rated yet. But I'm willing to bet it's PG-13 because if it's rated R, it's not going to make big buku bucks like it should.
It's probably PG-13, which will be the one thing holding it back from true greatness. But I'm still in 1,000,000%.
When I first saw that commercial, I thought it was a remake. What was the it's like Inferno or something about
the towering
skyscraper?
Yeah, the skyscraper
with the fire. I really thought that's what they were remaking was that.
It's basically what it is.
No, it's basically Die Hard.
I mean, well, so
it's not basically the Towering Inferno. I thought the same thing. It did look like the Towering Inferno, but then upon further investigation, you realize it's actually Die Hard.
We'll see, but the one big
and
thing...
by further investigation, he means the completed watching of the trailer.
I mean watching the full minute and a half trailer. Yes, that's what I mean.
The one thing which I can't wait to see how it plays into the movie, but Dwayne Johnson's character, whose name is Will Sawyer, Christ, and he plays an FBI hostage rescue team leader. So yes, there is a bit of Die Hard in it, but. He has his leg amputated in the movie. Like, so he has one leg. So I'm really curious on how this amputated metal leg...
I mean, it was probably amputated before the movie started.
No,
probably not amputated during the movie.
No, not in the movie. But I'm just curious to see how it plays in. Like, why does that need to be part of the story? Because it's going to come into play. Like,
I think that's probably going to be the reason why your negotiator... is a fucking super buff badass was probably because he was like a SEAL guy or something like that before he lost his leg. And so now he's a negotiator.
I'm telling you.
I'm just telling you that's what's going to fucking happen in this movie.
Yeah, but there's going to be something like he's going to have like sharp wire around his leg, but then or something.
He's going to grab. He's going to slide down a cable, so he grabs his leg and uses it to hold over his head and whirs down the cable.
Oh, completely. Something. Yes.
What we saw even in the trailer, he had at some point his leg tied around something and it kind of like loosened up a little bit.
Yeah.
Right, and it looked like oh shit, he's going to fall. So I'm sure they'll kind of use it as a you know. A feature in some ways, but I think it's also cool because it's showing that yeah, people with disabilities can still be badasses, and I think that that's fucking cool. That's a good message to put out there for all the people that do have disabilities.
And I think this is one of the first movies that's like completely.
Thank you for the public service announcement.
Completely.
No, seriously, I do think that's. I don't think it needs to necessarily be like what's the point of this thing being in the movie.
Oh, I thought well,
like,
it's just
dude.
Everyone knows why it's there. I'm just telling you the story reason for how they're going to work it in there.
well, okay, so yeah, he's a war veteran. Yeah, that's what it says here. He's a war veteran, and now he's the head of security for skyscrapers. So, but this is one of the first movies that's like completely set in China. So I doubt it's going to be rated R because I think this is like the everything's set in China.
What does that have to do with it?
I don't think they're going to put like a hardcore movie as like the
yeah. Like I don't there's a lot of, I think with those movies for it to be popular in China, there's a lot of stuff they can't put in them.
Yeah. So
gotcha. So are you saying that they're actually they filmed in China or that
it was completely set in China. This is like one of the first movies they ever like fully filmed there and like in relation with like these big entertainment companies over here.
Okay, I didn't know that you meant they filmed it. I thought you said it was just set in China. That was the setting for the story, and that's why I thought that was kind of funny. Like it's set in China, it's not going to be rated R.
No, yeah, I don't know. I think it was all filmed there. They had like it was like a big deal in the news when this happened. But yeah, the trailer looks crazy. It is The Rock being The Rock, jumping from skyscraper to skyscraper like in a Fast and Furious movie.
And it looks fantastic.
If you're gonna like this, you've got to like Jurassic World. It's the same thing.
No, I don't.
I completely disagree with that statement.
I loved Live Free or Die Hard, and I hated Jurassic World.
Ooh, I hated Live Free, Die Hard. Ooh.
I would much rather watch Live Free or Die Hard over any Jurassic Park movie except for the first one.
You know Live Free and Die Hard was PG-13, right?
Exactly, and I still enjoyed it. The uncut director's edition is way better, but even the theatrical release, still a lot of fun. Now, I didn't like the last Die Hard movie. That was not fun. But Live Free or Die Hard was the last good one.
Okay. All right. So
I disagree. Die Hard with a Vengeance was the last good Die Hard movie.
I totally agree. Die Hard with a Vengeance. I mean, I don't understand.
Like, Live Free, Die Hard is passable, you know? But
maybe we can agree.
With a Vengeance is the last good one.
Yes, agreed.
It's the last great one because it's not a good one. It's a fucking great one.
Oh, Atterbury.
The original three are fantastic. Maybe the best movies ever made. We don't know.
No.
Scientists are
you
still
know that
studying
shit's
this.
Not true.
Why that's slow? This is a good episode. This is much fun. Goodness gracious. Okay, so that's the trailers. Any commercials that stuck out? I guess the one commercial that stuck out for me was the two football players doing the whole Dirty Dancing routine, which I just thought was hilarious because they got like little details of it.
I liked the Tide commercial. I thought that was pretty funny. I thought that was also just a genius piece of advertising. They're like, okay, so how can we figure out a way to make every other commercial about our commercial? That was the really genius bit of advertising.
When they were like, every commercial that has clean clothes is really a Tide ad.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, whoever thought about that is a fucking genius at his job. That was such a smart move.
That was good.
Admittedly, I knew it wasn't going to happen. But I really wanted one of the last commercials in the Super Bowl to have been David Arbor in Hellboy makeup with, like, white pants on.
Oh, like, you know what? We haven't talked about it yet, but we also need to talk about the Doritos commercial.
I missed the Doritos commercial.
You missed it? Did you see this one, Jeremy?
I don't remember.
All right, so you guys have to YouTube this. It was Peter Dinklage rapping.
Oh, yeah, Rhymes. Yeah, that's right.
And then it was followed by Morgan Freeman doing Missy Elliott, which wasn't as funny. But I thought the Peter Dinklage one was really great because he fucking committed. He went the full mile doing that Busta Rhymes stuff, and it was fantastic. I feel like Morgan Freeman only gave it like 60-70%. He wasn't really going as hard as Peter Dinklage was.
He's like 110 years old.
Yeah, but I feel like Dinklage has to work harder to sell that than Morgan Freeman does anyway.
Ah, so good. So good. But yeah, it was solid overall. Got some good trailers, got a good stuff out there. Yeah, glad we all like these trailers for the most part. Any video game news? Any updates on Battlefront 2 stuff? And I've got to ask, why have y'all not been playing Battlefront 2? Or have y'all? And not telling me.
I have been playing lately.
I played before the podcast, and you're like, no, maybe later.
Yeah, later. I was busy doing shit. I want to play.
I have not been playing lately. I think that there's something that they did when they put out that most recent update for the servers, changing the balancing and stuff like that with the teams. Something changed, and now I feel like I'm playing with nothing but stupid people, excluding when I play with you guys, of course. But it's really driving me nuts. I feel like my teams are completely incompetent, and I feel like I'm losing every match. Even though I have come in first place and I've got a solid score, I'm still losing every single match, and it's driving me nuts.
I have found and I notice it more when I play the Starfighter Assault. I'll play a little bit, and like, let's say I play like five or six rounds. At first, I'm slaughtering everyone. It's like, and then by the time like I'll just destroy so hard, and then it's like by the time I start getting into like my fifth or sixth round, I can tell it's putting me against people that are legitimately, you know, a higher quality player. Mm. So I, you know, what I think it almost does is I think when it starts you out, like let's say we all signed in right now, it would start us in like we had never played. And so it puts us in like with a lower caliber, both on our team and people we're playing against. But once you play a few rounds, it starts bumping you up against better players, but also puts you with better people too.
Weird.
Gotcha. Okay. It's super weird. But then we've also got the issue where they reduced so significantly the timers on those like flags that are being captured, like the bombs that are going off and stuff like that. That pisses me off so much. It makes me so angry. Last few times I tried to play, I had to stop because I was starting to rage a little bit. And then, you know, I think the other problem is that I've kind of been dipping my toes back into Call of Duty World War II. And I'm like, So this is a good shooter. Yeah, this is what it feels like to be in a well-balanced shooter where there's smart layouts and smart guns and stuff like that. And so it's frustrating to go back and forth between the two because there's like one is so works so well and the other is so kind of needing help still.
So I downloaded a new game, Player Unknown.
Did you get it for Xbox?
I did.
What do you think so far?
It's actually pretty cool. Tons of people in a multiplayer world, and you have all these weapons.
I've heard great things, but I have heard that the matchmaking and like stability issues are really fucked up. So are you experiencing anything like that yet?
No, not yet. To load the game in, it takes, you know, just a little bit, but not like, you know, the first like the first game of Battlefront did, but there's just so many people being loaded into this world now, and it's like all open form. And then like you actually like skydive out to start the game, and you can like skydive anywhere on the map, and then you can like build yourself and fortify yourself and like.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it one map? Like it's always the same map, but it's just a really, really big map.
Yes, from what I've seen so far, yes. But it's super cool.
It looks super cool, and it's Lord knows it, it's so popular right now.
It is like it's. I mean, there's just it's kind of like Battle Royale, the movie. Like you just don't know what weapon you're gonna get, and you can find all these other weapons, and you just try to go out and kill people.
You mean the Hunger Games?
Ugh. You kill me. You kill me.
I would if I was gonna play any other game right now, I would probably play the Monster Hunter game.
I don't know what that is.
Everybody that I've talked to that's played it said that it's fucking fantastic. Basically, it's called like Monster Hunter World, and you're just running around killing monsters of various sizes, and some are easy to kill. Some take like 30 minutes, you know, like legitimately like tough battles. Looks like a lot of fun, and the graphics are fantastic.
Hmm. Check that out.
I have been diving back into Skyrim lately for the millionth time, having a great time with that. But I think the next game I'm going to be getting is Kingdom Come Deliverance. Have you guys seen trailers for this?
I have not.
No.
Check it out on YouTube after we get off the show here. But basically, it's a new RPG in the same style as like Skyrim or Fallout, something like that. So it's a first-person RPG, but it's set 100% in like realistic, I think like 16th century Bohemia. So it's straight up like medieval stuff, but it's based in reality. There's no magic, no dragons, no stuff like that. It's just knights and armor and swords. But the thing is that they put a huge amount of work into making the sword fights like really, really based in reality. They dealt like heavily with swordsmiths and armor crafters and sword fighters that are trained in that type of weapon usage. And it looks really fantastic. So it's a huge game, lots of storytelling, big battles, but also with this huge focus on one versus one sword fighting. So it looks super cool.
Cool. Very cool.
So I'll probably be getting that, and I'm definitely getting Sea of Thieves. That's the one that I'm just really waiting for.
Yeah, still Sea of Thieves. You have to let us know when you get that.
Unless... Got about a month and a half, I think, till it comes out, but damn, I hope it's good.
All right. That sounds good. Is that it for this week?
I think so. I'm out of stuff to say. I don't think I've got anything else funny.
We almost went 90 minutes this time. That's impressive. We had a lot to say. It was good because...
It was a big weekend. We had a lot going on this weekend with the Super Bowl and all the news that came out. There was a lot to talk about.
There was. Jeremy, anything else to add?
No, man, I'm good.
All right. Well, that is Mediocrity. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio under Multimedia Men. Just look up Multimedia Men and you'll find us. Rate us and review us.
I do have one thing to add here.
Oh.
I was like, you know what? I was as you were doing that, I was like, I'm going to ask Brian this question after we get off this call. But we might as well do it in the show because why not? So have you heard of the movie Hereditary?
Oh, yes, and I can't
wait
to
see it. Have you seen it?
No, so Hereditary is going around the film festival circuit right now. It's a horror movie, and a lot of people – so it's – I'm very leery on it right now because so many people are giving it like a lot of hyperbole type stuff. Like it's the best horror movie ever, and it's the scariest movie in the world and all of this stuff. And – when you get all this much hype and you see it, you're kind of let down. So I'm really trying not to see a lot about it yet. But I'm trying my best to get a screening copy of it. The company that's releasing it is A24, and they've released tons of great stuff. But this just – I mean, it looks good, and it's got a good cast.
It does. I was reading about this the other day. I watched the trailer, and I was I'm really excited about this film. So I just wanted to see if you'd heard anything about it.
Yeah, it's only at festivals right now. So hopefully either they'll do a screen of it or there'll be an online screener, which I'm hoping for right now. Right now there's 17 reviews of it on Rotten Tomatoes, and it is at 100% right now. And it's just everybody's loving it.
The trailer's pretty nuts. The trailer does look pretty intense.
Yeah, it does. It looks scary. The trailer's good. I really want to see this. Hereditary. If you haven't seen it yet and you like horror films, like psychological great horror films, a trailer really, I think, will show you that, like, oh, this is going to be one of the good ones. So let's hope for the best here.
Thank you for answering my question.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sorry to derail the ending here.
No worries, no worries. No, hey, it's free form, yo. But yes, we are also Mediocrity. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, look under Multimedia Men. And just subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. And, of course, Jeremy Magert and Jonathan Atterbury, always a pleasure talking with you guys once a week about the stuff we love and maybe not love so much.
The stuff we love and the stuff we hate and the stuff that Jeremy is moderately excited about.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right. We'll see y'all soon.